Good Wednesday afternoon and welcome into Grant and Danny. Thank you for listening to the show. We'll be with you until 6:30 tonight on The Fan. And we got a nice program planned for you today. At 4 o'clock, we're giving away tickets to Disturbed ahead of the Beltway Blitz. At 5 o'clock, we will blitz the East, get the latest on every team in the division. And at 6 o'clock, 4 hours from right now, the former GM of the Falcons, who worked hand-in-hand with both Dan Quinn and Adam Peters during his career, Thomas Dimitroff, will be on the show right at 6 on G&D. Should be a fun show. What's up, Danny?
Hey, buddy. How about this? A little challenge. I'll take Capitals shorthanded goals. You can have Philadelphia all goals. See who wins from last night. What do you think?
I hope they can repeat the performance tonight.
That's pretty sweet, huh?
They got the Flyers at home this evening. Last night was their most dominant defensive outing of the year. The Caps have ripped off 4 in a row to open their season. So they lost in game one. And I think that was not overly telling. They hadn't played in a week leading up to the game, a preseason, anything, right? So they hadn't played a game in a week, whereas the Devils were playing already their third
game. It's like
their
fourth or fifth game, yeah.
So they were in the flow of their season, but they lose to New Jersey. It happens, really good team, whatever. Since then, they beat back-to-back excellent teams in the West in Vegas and Dallas. Then they went on the road and beat the aforementioned Devils, who they opened with. And then last night, they dominated the Flyers. What was your favorite part of that game? Flyers fans booing the Flyers off the ice after the second period.
I enjoyed that, yeah.
Or those same Philadelphia fans leaving with about 7 minutes to go in the game.
I'm an exit guy. I'm a sullen car ride or silent plane trip home to the, you know, when you're on the road guy. That's my favorite thing. Going back to like a Chris Webber shush where it's like, you think you're going to win and then you don't because I just did something and I shush you and then you have to leave. Like you paid. And you're going, I've seen enough. That's the best.
I posted a graphic on Twitter and Instagram, Grant H. Paulson, if you want to go look at it. But I just went through the numbers through 5 games. Last year, this year, night and day. Forget 3 points versus 8 with the 4 wins. Goals scored. How about 7 last year so far, 20 this year? Goal scorers, 5 last year through 5 games. This year, 11 already. Just a better, more complete hockey team. It's been fun to watch. We've got the Caps game tonight, just after 7 o'clock, right here on The Fan. I'm sure you're fired up, Danny. The Wizards open their season tomorrow. Heard Alex Saar on with the Junkies today. They're getting primed and ready to go to kick off a brand new campaign. The NBA started last night with the first ever game where a father and a son both played for a team.
Pretty
LeBron
amazing.
LeBron and Bronny both playing for the Lakers last night. Bronny got in for 3 minutes, grabbed a rebound. That was his only stat. Did take a shot, missed a three, but both of them on the floor. I was shocked to hear that Bronny was going to play, but I guess it was just kind of one of those, let's make history, check a box, and then see where we're at afterwards.
Yeah, that's kind of my sense of it. Again, it always sounds like whenever this comes up, it's not like we talk about it every day, but that I'm ripping Bronny James. Just wants to play in the NBA, the same way that I wanted to play Major League Baseball or anybody else. He should be in college getting a lot better. He is a good college player. Like, I think he's on the way to being that. Maybe a pro prospect one day. He's probably not an NBA player right now, except he is. Because to appease his father, LeBron James, who still wields a huge amount of outsized influence and power, the Lakers, to kind of keep him happy and content, are going, hey, let's do this thing. So if this is how it manifests itself, where it's, you know, in a game where it's, you got a sizable advantage, let's trot him in there for a couple minutes. It's a nice ovation. Really cool moment for father and son. I get it, but it just feels odd to me. Like, if my name was Danny Ripken and Cal was still, you know, filled in two hoppers and slinging it to first base and I was as good as I was, which is not a Major League Baseball player, if I got to just trot up there and get a couple ABs in September, it wouldn't feel that awesome. You know what I mean? It'd be like, kind of cringeworthy.
I wonder how aware he is or whether he kind of does think he belongs. I don't know. And he's got a chance to prove over time that he does to that point. But yeah, Cal has a son named Ryan Ripken, mm-hmm. who played high school baseball in the Baltimore area, and I believe ultimately did get drafted and played as a pro a little bit, not that successfully. But he's now working in radio in Baltimore. He's doing baseball podcasts. You know what I'm saying? So he didn't get to play for the Orioles. But I'm not necessarily rooting against it. I don't have a huge problem with it. I just acknowledge that LeBron James runs the whole thing, and he wanted his son to play in the game last night, so his son played in the game last night. World Series starts on Friday. We've got an iconic matchup, Yankees-Dodgers. There's two schools of thought on this. The first is, Oh, come on. The teams that spend all the money with all the stars that are basically the big bad empires of the American and National League. How could anyone want to watch those two teams compete in the championship series? The other is the best team in the AL and the best team in the NL probably this year. And the two juggernauts that spent all the money and put forth all the effort to have big league high-end rosters every year are playing in the title round. And these are the two most vaunted, illustrious, historic programs. I'm in the latter, by the way. I'm thrilled about this matchup. I think it's awesome for baseball. We've had enough. Like, last year was the Rangers and the Diamondbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Wax more poetic about that guy who didn't watch it. I mean, nobody did. You know, us baseball diehards watched it. We'll watch this one, too. But for all the people that think it's so cool when the team goes on the magical run, the magic carpet ride to get to the championship, no, give me the Dodgers and the Yankees every now and then. It's been forever. I think this is going
to
be awesome.
Yeah, it's cool when it's occasional. And I hate to belittle things like that, but like NC State with Jim Valvano was miraculous, right? Survive and advance. That was incredible, right? The double-digit seed, the George Mason type thing. If a 12 seed goes every single year to the Final Four, it loses its luster. Not for that program. That's great for them. But like in terms of the Cinderella story, it's no longer a Cinderella story. It's just what's expected. And what has happened with this expanded wild card, there's more excitement. There's more cities that think they have a chance, and teams are behaving differently. So I guess in that terms of that design, it's good. But you have less teams that were awesome all year long making it to the highest levels of the sport. And to a degree, that's not something that I love. So it's like I'm kind of between two minds. This has been the most common World Series matchup over the course of league history. And these are the ultimate overdogs, like where they print their own money and have their own rules. So, you know, mixed emotions, but it'll still be a good series.
It's going to be great. I can't wait. It's going to be fun. This is a day later than normal on Grant and Danny, so we'll tell you that right up front. Normally, we do Commanders Survivor on Tuesdays. We're doing it today because Ryan cut his finger. So here's what happened. Clary cuts his finger real bad.
Mm-hmm.
We call him and check on him. He's in tears. We're like, what's going on? Are you in pain? He says, I'm not going to be able to count up the votes for Commander Survivor. It's my favorite thing we do every week. I said, don't worry about it. We'll do it Wednesday. And so because Clary cut his finger, it is time for Commander Survivor. On Wednesday. Terry McLaurin has immunity based on last week's vote. He wouldn't need it. 6-for-98 this past weekend in a win over Carolina. On offense, you're voting. Somebody off the island, somebody going home between these players. Offensively, Jaden Daniels, Brian Robinson, Austin Eckler, Brandon Coleman, Sam Cosmi. Last men standing defensively, Bobby Wagner, Frankie Louvu, Quan Martin, Jeremy Chin, and kicker Austin Seibert, who was perfect on Sunday, is the only specialist left.
How do you vote someone off this week?
It's going
to
be hard.
This is, like, usually it's like down to the nitty-gritty at the very end. It's like Terry McLaurin, John Allen, and maybe someone else that's played well. And you go, okay, you know, this is just unfair to somebody. This is rarefied air where it's already unfair in a win. One of these guys that played well is going to go home. I don't know how you do it.
Coleman didn't play much, dealt with a concussion.
Might be my answer.
I would hate for him to get sent home because he got concussed. But, yeah, as you said, there's not a whole lot of poor performance to go around. But go vote right now, facebook.com/Grant and Danny. Someone needs immunity. Somebody's getting kicked to the curb. I will tell you guys that while I'm in a good mood, I'm very happy to be here today.
Uh-huh.
I am dragging a little bit. I just feel like I'm moving slower than everybody else. And it's because of how full I am. I've eaten so much food today, Danny.
Uh-huh.
I had the great honor and privilege to be over at Nationals Park all morning for the 2025 Pitch Your Product event that they were holding. Now, for those of you that have not heard of that, probably many of you, it's not something that's out there necessarily. Pitch Your Product is something they did many years ago, haven't done since post-COVID. But they bring in different restaurant groups. Some of them are food trucks. Some of them are brick-and-mortar locations that have gone to the Nationals to try to have the opportunity to sell their food and their product at Nationals Park. I don't know where you're at on this, Danny, but I would say Nats Park, of all of the local stadiums and arenas and everywhere you go in this area, does the best job with food options.
Agreed.
With trying to make it a not just a baseball night, but a night out,
and
date night.
Not ripping anybody else, but this is the area where I think the Nationals and their stadium ops has done the best job.
Totally.
Right, where it's like individual restaurants and it rotates a little bit, and it's this, you know, you want to stay in left field, this could be the best hot dog you've ever had, or this tater tot thing. You want to go up to the scoreboard walk, get your Shake Shack or something other. They have a lot of unique things, and a lot of local businesses get a shot. I love it.
So they're bringing in different restaurants all day long to pitch their product so that they can be chosen as the one new establishment that'll be added to the Nats Park rotation next year. And you're wondering, well, what does this have to do with you guys? Well, your boy was a judge on the panel today for the 2025 pitcher product.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
When you think about the Grant and Danny radio program, you think about a couple of fellas who like to eat and consume food, or at least Danny used to. There was a time. They probably said, oh, Danny just wants to play pickleball and get fit. We'll ask Grant to do it. So they were kind enough to have me out there. The judges, if you will, the sharks in the shark tank, the head chef at Nationals Park, who kind of runs all the food operations, sat to my left. The head of their food and beverage relationship, Levi Washington, sat to my right. I had two seats over the young lady who runs everything at the ballpark, everything fan experience, everything that is, have fun when you come here. It's under her purview. And she was asking a lot of the questions. And then one other guy and myself. They were all grown-ups in shirts and ties that work for the Nationals at the highest level of all their offices. And then they had me representing the good people at Odyssey Radio.
Unbelievable.
Sitting there. I didn't do a lot of asking questions, I will say, to the chefs and to the owners of these restaurants. Occasionally, I would chime in with a thought, but I mostly just let the grown-ups talk. But if you guys are familiar with any of these places, the Roaming Coyote, how about Little Minor Taco, Cocineros? I mean, there were some really, really good places that came through. And what was hilarious is, I've got to say, so they said to me when they asked me if I wanted to do this, I was like, of course, I'd love to. They said, do you have any like proclivities, anything we need to know? And I said, listen, the only thing I would tell you is I'm not a big Mexican food guy. Like, okay, no problem.
Now, that's a nice way to say it. You refuse to try, eat, listen to any reason when it comes to an entire genre of food that billions of people consume regularly.
And then I get my itinerary as to be the judge, the shark, and the shark tank with Roaming Coyote and Taqueria Picoso out of Alexandria, which was amazing, by the way, and all these other places. And it's just one place doing tacos, burritos, nachos, like after another. And I was like, hey, just to let you know, I'm happy to do it.
Hey.
But I don't know if you remember, you know, I'm not a big Mexican food guy. She's like, yeah, but you're scheduled. The only thing we can get you in for is this window. I said, hey, no problem. I will be there. I can't wait. I'm
thrilled.
And I am here to report, Danny, that some of the things I ate today, I loved.
Who would have thunk it?
Fantastic. In fact, there was one specific item I'm going to highlight. What has ever sounded less like something I would eat than this? Are you ready for this?
I am ready.
It was called the Torta de Chilaquiles. You feel good about that?
I feel great about that.
Okay. It's a classy Mexico City sandwich that combines the beloved chilaquiles.
Yeah, you're nailing it.
With a Mexican torta. It features crispy tortilla chips, simmered in salsa, layered with a bean puree, crema, queso, fresca.
Yep.
Maybe queso is fresca. Queso fresca.
Okay, there it is. It's one thing.
Lime mayo and carne asada. All served inside a Telera roll.
Unbelievable.
And the roll itself
that
was homemade,
perfect.
As was all of their stuff. Basically, I'm going to call this like a Mexican steak and cheese. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It was so good.
Yeah, I bet.
Now, if you just slid that sheet across the table and said, Grant, here's what we're having for lunch, I'd say that's what you're having for
you
lunch.
Go, do you have any mild buffalo wings?
Bro. Phenomenal.
I'm sure it was.
I'll give you one more item that I really enjoyed.
Please do.
I gotta pronounce it in my
No,
head
you're gonna
first.
Get it right.
Sonoran hot dog.
There it is.
Okay. The Sonoran hot dog, originating in Hermosillo, Mexico. The Sonoran hot dog gained widespread popularity in Tucson, Arizona, where over 100 establishments offer this specialty. Our version features a bacon-wrapped all-beef dog topped with frijoles, sautéed onions, jalapeno mustard, and habanero mayo. I'm going to tell you, there was a little kick.
There's a little punch to it. That's your jalapeno working.
There was a little kick.
Uh-huh.
Again, you tell me we're eating this hot dog. I tell you, no, we're not. My God, was it good.
Again.
How can I get another?
Again.
That's the question.
Thank you.
So, and I could go through all the menus and talk about all the things I ate today, but the point of the dude's story is Grant Paulson, Mexican food guy.
Look at this. Huh? Look at this. Look at this.
What do you think?
Only took decades at a professional engagement for you to get in. Now, Nationals, Danny Ruye here.
Yeah.
Book me. I'll be there next year. I won't eat for a couple of days. I'll cleanse. I'll go on a juice cleanse. I will stay and I will judge and I will be fair, but I will consume. There's no bias. There's no type of food that I don't want. I want it.
Okay.
Danny Ruye, Odyssey Radio, 106.7 The Fan. I'm here.
Okay.
Okay. Back to you. Sorry. It's your thing.
Yeah. Respectfully.
Yep.
You could tell them we could both do it.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
I mean, you're kind of, on a parade?
No, I'm trying to weasel my way in. Right. I want to be very clear.
This is one of those times where I have a cool thing that I say on the air and the Danny goes, but what about me?
Yeah, I want to do that.
Yeah.
Back to you.
Well, that's great. Mm-hmm. Danny can come with me next year.
Well, that's nice.
That sounds like a good way to do it. Yeah. We could be there together, I would say. But back to the point at hand, Danny Ruye, what a day. For the Grant and Danny radio program.
This really is monumental.
See, we are a family together.
That's true.
You and I.
That's true.
When I get to eat...
Chilaquiles?
Sonoran hot dogs?
Yeah.
You get to eat Sonoran hot dogs. That's the way I view it.
Mm.
Apparently you don't.
I don't view it that way because I didn't get any. I didn't get any Sonoran hot dogs.
Right.
And all I do have is you saying, quote, I would never eat that. I would never try that when I brought up the Sonoran hot dog. This is a while ago when we were talking hot dogs?
I think most of the time I was there, I thought my presence, like, they don't need me here very much. You know what I mean?
Yes.
95% of the time I felt like they could probably do this without me.
Yeah, you know who's not needed?
So happy that they invited me. And I can't wait for next year again. But I feel like there were some moments where I really threw my weight around, where I would say things like, and for this reason, I am out. Right?
Yeah.
Or, you know.
Did you ever do any Shark Tank bits?
I did not.
How much does it cost you to make? How many have you sold?
Yes, there were questions.
Do you have any?
Like that.
Do you have any other debt?
Questions like I was like, now how long does it take you to prepare this? It could be a long line of people. How many can we get through in a couple hours?
It's actually a good question.
When you're busy, you know, are we making this at the restaurant and bringing it here? Do we need to make this here? I mean, I was taking out the shovel a little bit. Mostly the adults were doing most of the questions, but I was saying things like,
"This is really good.
This is very good.
And what was this? Frijoles? That's kind of how it went.
Beans, by the way. That's what frijoles are.
Yeah, I'm not a beans guy. You know that about
me. But you are, because you had them, and you realize they're amazing.
It was just a fantastic way to eat way too much food, like Mexican for breakfast.
I am proud of you, though. Shtick aside.
Thank you. So 10 a.m., right off the top, roaming coyote, 10:30, Taqueria Picoso. I mean, this was my morning here. 11 a.m., little minor taco, and then 11:30, I'm going to say Cocineros. And no, I was not grilling anybody or doing Shark Tank shtick because this is such a big moment for these establishments.
Well, of course, I know. Yeah, yeah.
I wanted to be just...
You're a professional.
Respectful.
Yes.
Sit there and eat the delicious foods they're providing me with.
You did it.
And they were delicious.
And you did it. Now, the other folks had to stay for more sessions.
That's what I don't understand.
How are they doing that?
They're also all very skinny, these people. Like, everyone
was
amazing?
Very skinny. Isn't that annoying? Yeah.
So they were eating... Now, maybe I ate a little more of everything than they did, but they had another... Four places coming in for the next shift at noon when I had already come to the radio station. And then they have an afternoon shift after that.
There's three?
There's three batches. And I'm going, really?
How could anybody?
Yeah. Pretty staggering. But best of luck to all the establishments. Thank you for the delicious eats. Signed, Grant Paulson, Mexican food guy.
Mexican food guy.
As you've always known.
I've always said that. It was only a matter of time. The core ingredients, the base things, check a lot of boxes for my guy Grant. But you don't try things until you do.
There was just a lot of meat.
Yep.
Some cheese.
Yeah.
These are things that I eat.
I know.
Chips occasionally.
Yes.
Like tortilla chips.
Uh-huh.
So it's not as scary as you might think. Bread.
Yes.
I like bread. I like flour tortillas.
The reason that whole genre of cuisine is so wonderful is imagine several good things that you like. You just named a few. And you wrap
and
them up.
And a lot of things I don't like, too.
Well, and you wrap them up. And you just wrap it up in a single breaded mechanism, the burrito.
What is your confidence level with Jaden Daniels against the Bears? And what is your confidence level with Marcus Mariota as the quarterback against the Bears? How different is that? We're going to take inventory next on Grant and Danny.
Oh, these guys are unbelievable. We got an awesome group of guys that just believe in each other. And, you know, they made play after play. I just did my best to give them a chance.
What's going on with this team right now? What are you guys building on both sides, you think?
It's a brotherhood. We talk about it all the time. Honestly, it's the best place to work. And I enjoy going in with these guys. It's a lot of fun. And when you have a brotherhood like this, you'll find ways to win.
That was two brotherhoods there. That means I get to ring the brotherhood bell twice. We're Grant and Danny, and we are a brotherhood. You are listening to the fan. Dan Quinn would like it around here. Clary and Darius are our brothers because we are a brotherhood.
You had a hooded sweatshirt on today. It's your Capitals hooded sweatshirt. Boom. Brotherhood.
Brotherhood. Any hoodles, Bears are in town on Sunday. We are going to be getting ready for that game over the rest of this week in studio. Today and tomorrow, and then on Friday, out and about. The field trip series continues. If you guys haven't heard, we're going to be doing this every single Friday on the show. We had just an incredible turnout, and frankly, a really awesome time on Friday in Leesburg at Spanky. So pressure is on Manassas to show out, and we're going to see if they can live up to the billing after we kick this thing off maybe with our Super Bowl.
Yeah, that was in style, my friend. That was a great time out
there.
So
we're going to Uptown Alley. Not familiar with this spot out in Manassas, but it looks like maybe some bowling in addition to just hanging fun sports bar vibes. But we will be in Manassas all day Friday getting out there before the show. We go live at 2. We will be there through 6:30. So if you are around Sudley Road, can make it over that way. Manassas, Virginia, Uptown Alley, that is where we're going to be on Friday. The question at hand right now, Danny, what is your confidence level in a Commanders win over the Bears if Jaden Daniels plays? And then same question if Marcus Mariota plays. And I think we should go on a 1 to 10 scale to better quantify this thing.
6 with Daniels. I think he makes one more play. Now, this is assuming full health, assuming he's not limited, assuming that he's Jaden Daniels.
So if Jaden Daniels starts, you expect the Commanders to win.
I would say it's more likely than not that they would win the game. So tilting it past 5. Without him, it's a 3. Still very much on the table. Still very much a game they could win, but it's about guys that I don't quite trust as much doing something they don't do all the time. Against bad offenses, this defense, you may have noticed here over the last a couple of these wins where they've won big, they've played aggressive, they've played fast, they've swarmed, they've created turnovers, they've been a pain in the butt. That's not what Chicago is. So this would be the best, if you're just kind of going on the late sample here of Chicago, this would be the best offense, or the offense playing the best, that they behaved in that way, aka swarming, pressure, causing chaos, tackling really well, limiting what the offense can do, you know, pressure on the QB, etc. I don't know that I would expect that, but I think it's on the table. Maybe you built some confidence here, you know, stomping Cleveland, stomping Arizona, you know, stomping Carolina here this past week. So maybe that's something that could happen here, and you could limit Chicago. But my confidence would go down some. It's just a little bit less dynamic, a little bit less bail you out, a little bit less easy when it comes to the offense.
I am not confident in this game, even at full strength, for a couple reasons. First, when the Bears have the football, I think they can spread Washington out and throw it. Now, Caleb Williams holds on to the ball too long, and he makes more rookie mistakes than Jaden Daniels has. I don't just mean putting the ball in harm's way, although there's some of that. But I mean holding the ball, running around in the pocket, fire drill style, five-step drop somehow becomes he's 9 yards behind the line of scrimmage, patting the football, just weird stuff. And I think that keeps the defense in the game, too. But a healthy Bears offense, DJ Moore, Roma Dunze, Keenan Allen, Even DeAndre Carter, who we saw here as a really good return man, is a water bug who can be tough to defend down the field. DeAndre Swift running the football. They haven't had a great running game, but he's also a decent pass catcher. They've started to use Rashawn Johnson more out of the backfield as a receiver as the year's gone on. Khalil Herbert right now is buried, who torched Washington last year. Cole Kmet's a handful, the former second-round pick at tight end. Gerald Everett can still win one-on-one, who's their second tight end. They have weapons. I don't think Washington defensively will be in a good spot to defend many teams that have weapons and that can spread you out and just get the ball to talented pass catchers who are hard to tackle in space. So that's the number one reason I kind of worry about the game. And frankly, whether you have Jaden Daniels or Marcus Mariota, it's not going to affect any of those things that much when the Bears have the ball. Ideally, if you play better offense, that's good help to your defense because you possess the ball more. So it'll benefit the defense some. But Daniels isn't out there helping you get stops.
No.
Other side of the ball, when the Commanders have the football, obviously a much bigger difference. But this is the best defense by far that they've played. I do have questions. I'll be watching the injury report like everybody else. I know right now, Tyreek Stevenson, Jaquan Brisker, Kyler Gordon, corner, safety, nickel, all those guys are very much banged up. And we'll see who plays and who doesn't. So it could be a situation where you could actually take advantage of their secondary a little bit more. But Montez Sweat and Andrew Billings and DeMarcus Walker and Tremaine Edmonds, like their front seven is still really, really good even if they're banged up.
Yeah, this is the best group that they've had, or at least most complete, I would say. Right, Baltimore had elements of a really good defense, but this is the, whatever you'd like to do, Chicago has a pretty good answer, or they have to this point this year. So for me, that's kind of why I'm so much more. If Daniels is there, it's a bit more the equalizer, right? Mariota has this is who he is. Now, against Carolina, a bad defense, he has thrived in years past, right? As a guy, you saw him against Washington, running around, making a couple plays off schedule, read option type stuff, presents a challenge. For a good defense, it's not that much of a challenge. They say, there. I challenge you to zip the ball down the field consistently from the pocket. Having Daniels, again, is kind of the equalizer, right? I think you could run it better with him. I think you could run it better at having him actually be the runner. He can make, when you're wrong, quote-unquote, correct, see the 4th-and-3 against Cleveland where they have him dead to rights, and he says, that's adorable. I'm going for 35, please, and thank you. Or, the pass deep to Terry McLaurin after two guys met at Jaden Daniels, and he eluded them both and did something special. I don't think that's happening with Mariota. Again, he's mobile, not like that. This is special. This is, oh my God, I can't believe the guy made that play type stuff. So with Daniels, I go probably a little bit north of 50-50 toss-up kind of game because this is at home. And yes, there's a home field advantage now. We're not used to that. Let's look around, head on a swivel, but I think it's a real thing.
Yeah, I think that's definitely starting to happen. There's no doubt. I think there'll be more visiting fans at the game for the Bears than there were for the Panthers. I think you just naturally have more Chicagoans.
Chicagoans
who live in this area than Panthers fans probably, but also the team is an exciting team. I have a buddy, my boy Ricky, used to live in my neighborhood, who moved just recently, texted me, was a big Bears fan, had the flag flying in the neighborhood. He's going to the game. I just think there's a lot of people who have been jacked up. I've been talking to him about this Bears team, really, with Hard Knocks and the number one pick and Caleb Williams and Roma Dunze. You know, there's an energy there that they're not missing a chance to go see their team that's 4-2 in the area. Whereas Panthers fans can be told their team's playing in their backyard and they'll close the blinds right now. I mean, it's just an ugly, mm-hmm. awful operation. But I say all that to tell you, and here's the answer directly to the question, and then I want to see what you guys think. 800-636-1067. If the question is 1-10 level of confidence that they win with Daniels and with Mariota, I would say 5 out of 10 with Daniels. I am less confident in a victory. I wouldn't expect to win. It's a toss-up kind of game. And I would pick the Bears probably like 23-20. If Washington wins, it's probably a similar score. With Mariota, I go from that 5 to, if I got to give you a full number, I'll say 4. Might be like a 3.8 or something. But it drops to, I will be surprised if they win, and it would be a whale of a win. But even with Jaden Daniels, I think that this would be their first time where the offense really encountered some issues, where they went 2 or 3 drives in a row where they punted, mm-hmm. where they went 3 and out back-to-back drives. We haven't seen that at all this year. Think about that.
Yeah. I mean, save week 1 against Tampa, right? So like,
yeah, it's almost.
But and that's kind of what I always throw that
since
in.
Since they got their act together,
yes.
Over now 6 weeks of football, there has not been a week where this offense struggled.
Correct.
And I think this, even with Daniels, would be that week. And if it's Mariota, then we're just going to blame it on the fact that they have a backup quarterback. But I actually do think they're just leveling up in competition.
I agreed. I rubber stamped that. I always offer that in week one, and then the kind of almost put it on its own island. This to me is the first time I would say they have an opponent that's right at their eye line. Right? We disagreed a little bit about the Ravens. I still think the Ravens, I see them as a Super Bowl contender. They've kind of showed you what they can do when things are humming and firing all cylinders. Chicago is not appreciably better or worse than they are, right? They're playing their better football here of late. They started off really poorly, quite frankly. It took them a little bit longer to get their act together, but it seems like now they have, and they've got a bye week in advance here in terms of some extra rest, getting some bodies back healthy, or at least in theory they should be. So this is, I'm fascinated by this game. Everybody's going to do the Williams versus Daniels storyline ad nauseum, and that's fine. I get that. I get why those headlines exist. I get why all the shouty shows are going to do that. But this is, to me, pretty fascinating, sort of besides the point. Chicago was everybody's darling, right? Because they built a really good nest for Caleb Williams, rightfully so, smartly so. I mean, they went out and got some veterans. They went and built this really good defense that they had kind of at the end of last year, added a bunch of weapons. That's a good spot. That's a good place. Washington is the no one thought they'd be here, but here they are. What a good, here's this term, measuring stick game for someone that's at the top of this pretty good bucket. Not elite, nobody is yet, but right in that pretty good bucket for supremacy there, this is a big one.
You're playing a playoff team in the NFC. You have not done that in several weeks. This is another team that's going to be fighting tooth and nail with you for a wild card spot if you're not able to hang on. In the NFC East, that's what this week is. And by the way, Williams has played a lot better over the last few games. He did not turn the ball over against the Rams, threw for a couple hundred yards. He had a 305-yard performance against the Panthers, no turnovers, and then the four touchdowns and a pick with six incompletions in London against Jacksonville. He's looking to make it what it would be, four very quality performances in a row as he's completely turned his rookie year around. Question for you guys is, what is different in your level of confidence if it's Daniels versus Mariota? We're using 1 to 10 confidence scale here to try to make that case. You're listening to The Fan. Marcus Mariota played well. The Commanders got to 5-2. Confidence in him in the offense soared. But the Bears' defense is another story. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on The Fan. The question for you is, we're using a 1 to 10 scale here. How sure are you that the Commanders beat the Bears if Jaden Daniels plays versus if Mariota goes? Trying to figure out how big of a gap that is. For me, it's actually not that big. I've got a 5 out of 10 with Daniels. And a 4 out of 10, but it's a, what do they say in football? Like a long one, third and a long one?
Mm-hmm.
It's more like a 3 than it is a 5. Like it's a 3.8. I'm gonna give exact numbers. I'll say a 5 out of 10, 5.2 out of 10 for Jaden Daniels, and a 3.8 for Marcus Mariota. About a 1.5 point difference.
Bigger gap for me. So 6 for me if Daniels plays and is himself. Not limited, not favoring his side and not really able to do all the things or certain parts taken out of the playbook to protect him, et cetera. If he can be himself, which I don't anticipate, by the way, but maybe it does happen. Then to me, it's a 6 out of 10. Cause I think the Bears are good. Not great. Good. I think Washington is the same. I'm trying to prove that they're better than that. With Mariota, it's a 3.
At the top of the hour, right at 3 o'clock on G&D, before we get into Daniels's durability and where we're at on that discourse, I do want to look at the big NFL trade today. DeAndre Hopkins headed to the Kansas City Chiefs. Feels like a phenomenal fit for an undefeated Chiefs team trying to three-peat and go back to back to back as Super Bowl champions. By the way, Hopkins, I don't know if you saw this, posted his entire family singing a Taylor Swift song first thing this morning. I don't think anybody really, I'm sure some Chiefs fans did, nobody really connected the dots. It's just like, oh, that's cute. The family's singing 22 by Taylor Swift. Then a couple hours later, we all find out. He's being traded to Kansas City.
He's going to Taylor Swift's Chiefs.
He was trying to tell everybody something. Let's go to Nate in the district. Nate, level of confidence with Daniels versus Mariota?
My level of confidence with Daniels is about a 7 out of 10.
Okay.
My level of confidence with Mariota is about a 5 out of 10. I'm not going to sit here and discredit our coaching staff and the other 52 guys around us that keep us afloat. We are the highest scoring team in the NFL, and that includes with one of our games coming with no touchdowns, all field goal points.
Yeah. And it includes Nate, to your point, thank you for the call, buddy, basically an entire game, really it was 3-plus quarters, with Mariota where they scored the 30 points. So you think about it that way. He basically is going from, with Jaden Daniels, I would fully expect to win, and with Marcus Mariota, I think it's a toss-up. My version of that, with the numbers I gave, is with Daniels, I think it's a toss-up 50-50 kind of game, and with Mariota, you'd be doing really well to win. It'd be nice if they pulled it off, but that's not the expectation. Nigel, PG County, what's good?
What's up, Grant, Danny? How y'all guys feeling?
Good, buddy.
Good. So I got us at a 7 out of 10 with Jaden Daniels, and I got us at a 6 out of 10 with Marcus Mariota. But hear me out. I hear, you know, what you're saying about the defense, that the Bears got and all that. But if you look at – I'm not too confident in Caleb. Played anybody really formidable defensively that he's put up great numbers against. He just –
Sorry, breaking up there. Appreciate the phone call, dude. He's basically saying, I think Caleb Williams hasn't exactly had a banner season against good opponents as well. And to his point,
they played good defenses, but is this one of them?
Well, no, is my answer to that.
Yeah.
But they played Houston pretty tough. They lost a one-score game to Houston.
He was awful in that
game. And he was not good. So it's really hard to get that read. Against defenses that aren't particularly good, or even let's even say bad, Carolina and Jacksonville, both disgraceful, he was outstanding. And that offense was electric.
But I would say Washington's defense, respectfully, is closer to Jacksonville or Carolina.
So the best comp is the Rams, maybe? I mean, they're probably in that bucket.
Yeah, he was good in that game.
And he was pretty good.
17 of 23. He was efficient anyway. 157, a touchdown, and no picks. But yeah, the Texans game, that was a really good defense that they played, and he got exposed. He threw two picks. It could have been four picks. That was also week two. I mean, just think about Jaden Daniels
against the
Bucs and what a different player he is now than he was then. And Caleb Williams is less experienced than Jaden Daniels. Daniels is older. Daniels played in a lot more college games. You know, Caleb Williams, I'm not acting like one of them is 19 and the other's 30, but he's a couple years younger or close to it. There's going to be a big difference between his week one and week two and his week seven and week eight. There should be. Just like we're seeing growth from Daniels. Jeff in Orange, what's going on?
Hey, boys. First time, long time. Yeah, I think we're suffering from a little bit of bias here on past experiences with Redskins, now Commanders. But I think you got to look at it from a realistic perspective, which is about a 9 for Daniels and about an 8, maybe a 7.5 and an 8 for Mariota.
Mm.
Mariota's got some teeth to him, right? He's been around the league, so he's seen more. But Daniels, this is going to test him coming back. And so if we're going to have confidence, let's have confidence. Let's not lean back on, here we go, maybe we lost our quarterback. It was one good hit. And that's all it takes to go from a season that's where you could be 7-2 to being, 5-4. So let's have some confidence. Let's breathe it, because if we're going to talk good things about the coaching staff and the ownership and the people that are responsible to keep all these players on, the defense is making progress. Offensive line is playing better. Let's go 9-8.
Appreciate you, buddy.
Thank you, buddy.
Thank you.
Yeah.
9-8, is he saying record-wise?
No, he's saying 9 for Daniels, 8 for Mariota.
He's saying 9-8 after all that confidence talk. What happened? Okay, so he's saying definitely going to win with Daniels and still going to win with Mariota, which I the way they've played, the way they looked against the Panthers.
Doubt him at your own peril, yeah.
I understand that confidence. I'm not quite there in that's how they'll look against a defense of this caliber. We can continue to get into this as we go. Want to talk about Daniels' durability. That was one of the huge storylines when they drafted him. He had a game where he came to the sideline after a big hit, and Driscoll ran on in the first home game. He obviously came right back in and was able to play, and now may miss this game, and he's not able to practice with this rib injury after missing 3/4 of a game this past week. Is this starting to get to a point where we say the durability conversation comes back up? Or is that a silly thing to even consider because these are minor, seemingly, injuries to this point? We'll get into that next on Grant and Danny on the Fan.